This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
But I put up a Twitter poll today if you want to get a Bills conversation going, which, we're always open for that. Throwing a grade on the offseason. How would you rate their results, filling needs, adding talent, etc.? And you know, a poll like this does not allow me the opportunity to throw in all of the pluses and minuses, like A minus, B plus, C plus, B minus. So I just have an A, B, C, and F, which, I mean, I guess I could have put D up there instead of F, but whatever. It's a Twitter poll.
Right.
I like to say it's not congressional testimony, it's a Twitter poll. So A, B, C, F, what do you want? And as you might expect, F's not getting a lot. And C's not getting a lot. It's between A and B is the very firm 64% of those voting say Bills get a B on the offseason. And maybe those people want to put a B plus on that, or maybe the A's are an A plus, but B is winning the Twitter poll, which is not surprising to me at all. Right?
No.
They went out and they overhauled their front four, they filled some big holes, and the thing that probably keeps it from being an A.
Yeah, that's my curiosity. Why are people not answering?
I'll give you an answer to this. And this is, I'm going to steal something from the draft, and that's this. You know how in the draft we hear every year there's only 13 first round picks, even though there are 32?
Yeah.
I kind of want to borrow that idea or borrow that concept and say, I don't know what team in the NFL does get an A-plus this offseason. Because forget the draft for a moment. The draft is, you know, some teams made some big moves like Travis Hunter to Jacksonville. Who was the biggest player that moved this offseason? Was it Metcalf?
Metcalf.
That it?
But you're not going to give Pittsburgh an A because they don't have
a quarterback. So I almost want to say, I'm not sure if I want to give any team an A on the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody traded for Myles Garrett. Nobody traded for Max Crosby. Who's the biggest name that moved? Was it Milton Williams? Josh Sweat? Free agency was plundering the Eagles a little bit. The Bills went out and got their middle-tier signings at positions that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost to say, I'm not saying a B is an insult, but maybe the people that are voting B, which is kind of where I land. I landed about a B+. It was a nice offseason.
Yeah.
A lot of what they did made sense, but I almost want to say I would have saved my A for Trey Hendrickson.
Right.
Which they didn't do, and they didn't have to necessarily do that.
That, by the way, could still happen.
I suppose.
For anybody, couldn't it?
For anybody, sure, for anybody.
Like, everybody's had their offseason, and he still is, I think, to some extent, on the trade market. So somebody will, if he were to get traded, somebody will trade for him that already believes their offseason is over.
Yeah.
So that could happen. But I'm not holding out hope, that much hope on that at this point. Yeah, it's not having the blue chipper. That's it. Like, the goal of this offseason, I think the number one thing, the day after the season, what for me would have been, find your way to getting a star player because you have a lot of good ones and you need a great one. And the reason I wouldn't dock them too much for that is Metcalf was the only one even debatably in that class that got moved. You otherwise didn't have an opportunity to get Garrett. You weren't able to get Max Crosby and all those others. So, but I also don't want to give them an A because I know what the A looks like. The A looks like you found a way to get one of those guys.
Yep.
And that didn't happen. So they did everything else, right? Like, for the most part, didn't they do about everything else that they could? You know, like little bits and pieces here, like last Monday gets into it because like I would have liked to see them draft one other receiver at some point. But that to me is a smaller thing than the totality of the offseason. And then they found their way to Elijah Moore anyway,
yeah,
a player that I like. So for me, I like the Palmer signing. I like the Moore signing. I feel like they are better at wide receiver than they were last year. The rest of the offense stayed intact. And then defensively, they needed to improve and get better on their defensive line.
Not even just that.
And I feel like they took enough swings at that position that a couple of them are going to make a difference.
Did they make enough moves on the defense to kind of say it's a different defense?
Yeah, right. The people playing on the defense are just going to be different, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a different defense.
How many different starters week one, last year to this year?
Well,
you're going to have a different starting safety. Cole Bishop is going to be back there.
Maxwell Harrison starts.
That's two.
If you could fast forward to week seven, you could throw two new names in there. I mean, the PED suspensions for Hoyt and Ogunjobi kind of dock this number a little bit. But even the guys that are going to step in for them are new.
Right.
Whether that's Landon Jackson or if that's Bosa. Bosa. Yeah, right. Bosa.
Yeah, Bosa. Joey Bosa,
right,
of course,
right,
is an obvious one there. So, like, I've got five, six new contributors.
Yeah.
On the defensive side of the football, and maybe even, you know, if Deion Walker can find a way to contribute, that could get up to like seven or eight.
It's a lot of new faces on one side of the ball.
Right, and that was, everyone knew their priority and the thing they needed to attack the most this offseason. So, yeah, B plus. I feel like if most people are landing in that spot, I'm betting that's what they're thinking, is I wanted a star player, one didn't get added, but
not many.
You go position by position, and they kind of attacked everything that
so
they needed to.
NFL.com has a piece right now. Jeff Chidia, NFL.com's columnist. This is from about a month ago. But the 10 best moves of the offseason to that point. Number one is a coach. Number two is Jamar Chase getting extended. Number three is Devontae Adams. Like Adams
got, right,
and the Commanders
things.
Trade for Debo. Sam Darnold's on this list. Dre Greenlaw's on this list. Zach Bond staying with Philadelphia. Jonathan Allen, Chris Scott. A lot of these are re-signings.
Metcalf trade wasn't on there?
The Metcalf trade. Metcalf might have happened after this article was written.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is written late March. But, right, like, it was a lot of re-signings. Last year at this time, it's, when did Derrick Henry sign with the Ravens? You know? Because one thing I also want to say about, if we go back to last offseason, you know, the Bills kind of had a quiet one. It was about saying goodbye to a bunch of players. This one feels like it's more about additions. Last year, the story was subtractions.
Yeah.
Whether that's Diggs, Davis, Hyde, Poyer. You know, you had
Trey White,
Mitch Morse. Last year was about look at all the players that have left.
Right.
And this year, it really wasn't about that. It was about guys coming in. They had some openings. They had some spots they could fill. So it's
right.
Not
who left that they're going to badly miss.
Right. Mac Hollins, you could make a case if you want to, and Cooper, you could make a case if you want to, but
not to me with the two new guys.
No, I think they'll be all right in that department with those two.
So there really isn't one. How much are they going to miss Rasul Douglas? I mean, he wasn't playing at that high a level at the end.
There's no glaring who fills in for Tremaine Edmonds or who gets the Diggs targets. There really isn't this glaring hole. And if you look at next year, I feel like it's a lot of the same as well. Like Milano might be the question next year. What they have here is they've kind of on-ramped into, we kind of knew this would happen over the course of a transition. The new core is starting to develop. And, you know, whether that's Hairston or TJ Sanders or Landon Jackson or Michael Hoyt, like who steps into the role that is the next big play player for them?
Right.
That used to be Hyde. That used to be Poyer. And can Rapp and Bishop become that? Can Hairston become a guy that is a ball hawk the way that Douglas was right when he showed up? So I think the offseason deserves a solid B. And by that, I mean, I don't know what A would have had to be somebody bankably great. I don't even want to give. I don't even give out A's to anybody because I feel like the league this year was not really about big time player movement.
Would you give an A to New England? They feel like they did the most.
Yeah,
they did the most. They brought in. They probably overpaid Diggs, but whatever. They had to bring in a veteran receiver, and they could not get Chris Godwin to take like any amount of money they offered him.
That's right.
So they ended up on Diggs.
Their big move was Milton Williams, signing him to huge money.
Yep, and he might have been the best player, not including Metcalf, that moved. And then everyone seems to like their first round pick.
Yeah,
Will Campbell. They had the luxury of being that high.
That's the other thing. It's your offseason based on how far did you have to go. If you are the Titans, you probably feel like you had an incredible offseason because you added a franchise quarterback and you added other pieces as best you could, but you had a long way to go. When you're the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Commanders, it's more about, the finishing pieces. So it's probably tougher to earn a grade because you have fewer jobs available, fewer important jobs are available because you're already a good team.
Right. And for... like, if you think about the other contenders that the Bills are competing with, like, the Bills attacked what they didn't have, kind of what let them down, which was the defense, mm-hmm. and specifically the defensive line. What did the Chiefs attack? Didn't the Chiefs attack exactly what ended their season?
Offensive line.
They went after offensive line. They signed a free agent. They used their first-round pick on a guy who does have injury problems, but he's got upside. Simmons, right?
Yep. The story is as long as he's – it might be injuries. I thought it was maturity. That he's got the best tape of any tackle if they can all get it together. It's little bit like – not quite exactly like Deion Walker from the Bills in the fourth round, but there's a lot of tape out there to say there's a lot more to this player than his draft status.
Sure. And then the Ravens did what with their offseason?
They drafted Malachi Starks.
They didn't really have a theme to their offseason, I guess, that I'm thinking about.
Well, they probably, like the Bills, thought they were pretty good.
Right. Yeah, and they were already good enough on both sides of the football where, like, the roster, I don't really know how much more the roster needed to have, be attacked. So, I don't know, just depending on how much you want to blame the Bills or... criticize them, and I don't want to put it that way, but how disappointed you are that they didn't end up on getting one of these elite players at some position, but they didn't get moved. So like how, that's for me the part of it, like how mad can you really be? What was the what was the deal that happened with another team that you go, man, I wish I had that one? Because that's happened to me in the past with them, but even the Metcalf trade to some extent, but I don't know, it happened so quickly that... and he's on a place now, I just don't expect it to really work. That, I don't know. Like, I guess you could say that deal, but I'm not, like, every day coming in here and thinking constantly about, man, I can't believe they didn't get DK Metcalf. I'm not really.
No.
I like the player, but I don't know what that move would be for anybody. Are you mad they didn't get Milton Williams?
No.
He cost a ton of money.
He did.
And for what they did in the defensive line, they really didn't break the bank on any specific player, didn't they? Like, they signed some modest free agent contracts. They took a risk on Bosa.
That's the other part of their offseason. It was extending their own guys. That's really the biggest story of what they did.
For the money,
yeah. Rousseau, Shakir, Bernard, Benford. Like, four big extensions. Big commitments, long-term commitments. Yeah, their offseason was probably defined mostly by... volume in free agency in the draft and retaining where you were and what you already had.
Yeah. I'm reading right now a 32 off seasons graded in the NFL, and there were only, this is Yahoo Sports, only three teams were given an A.
Okay.
And like I said, like 15 were given a B.
Let me see. Are the A's, does New England get one of them?
New England's number one with a straight A.
Did Jacksonville get one?
No, they are not. Are a B. B plus.
New England won, I don't know, Seattle, who got an A?
Chicago got an A.
Because of Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson, the offensive line overhaul, the Colston Loveland pick, Luther Burden in round two, and then Minnesota got an A. Because they let Sam Darnold go, use the money to help J.J. McCarthy, upgrading both lines, bringing back Byron Murphy at corner, and then Aaron Jones.
All right.
So.
Okay, so three A's.
Three A's, and that was it. So, right, how mad can you be that they weren't one of three A's? And those teams got it because, one, New England had the most money to spend in the NFL, and Chicago had, like, massive deficiencies, and they had a coach they needed to hire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Bills weren't going to hire Ben Johnson. this offseason.
No, not at all.
So,
yeah, I mean, maybe another part of your offseason win is that Joe Brady did not leave. If Brady had left, we would be spending this offseason talking about, well, can whoever it is pick up where he left off and whether they're hiring somebody from the outside or elevating somebody from the inside. Right. If Brady had left, it'd be a different conversation, but he didn't.
Four teams, by the way, got a D at the end of it.
All right. Four teams got
four
a D.
Four teams. What were the four worst off seasons, according to this Yahoo article from the weekend?
I don't know. The Jets.
The Jets got a D.
Okay.
Yep.
The Jets got a D. Did Miami get a D?
Miami got a D plus.
Okay.
Yep.
Hang your hat on that.
They did. Didn't some people like their draft? It was a they're described as a meat and potatoes draft.
That's right. That's right. A team that's considered to be a finesse team went rugged in the draft. They got they got a little meaner.
But they did lose Terron Armstead, which is a part of this too in the offseason. And then the two other teams were New Orleans.
Okay. Is that because they did not get a quarterback?
I think so. That Tyler Shuck seems to be their plan right now, and they overpaid Chase Young, according to this. And then the worst team this offseason with a D minus was San Francisco.
Traded Debo
away. That's kind of it, I guess.
Okay.
No key free agent additions is the other reason.
All right.
So.
After the whistle. Craig Gervais, Andrew Peters, good morning. We've been told after multiple days of presenting to Terry Pegula, Kevin Adams will return as the Sabres GM for the next upcoming season. You mentioned that in the update. Want to give a thought on that? Anybody? Anybody have a thought on that? Multiple days of presenting.
That's the most interesting part of this, because we had already resigned ourselves to he is going to be the GM again. So,
how many hours in a day? How many days presenting? What does the presentation involve?
Right. Well, I'm assuming it involves what you want to do with the roster, right? And what you want to do with contracts and extensions.
Mm-hmm.
Does multiple days of presenting, is it too far a leap to go to Terry was thinking about it?
I mean, I have a tough time believing that.
That he was thinking about doing something else? Because to me, if you are presenting to the owner and the conclusion is he's staying as GM... What was he presenting? Does he do this every year? Does he always present to Pegula, or was this the presentation to remain as GM? And if he doesn't like it, you're out. Is that what was on the line with the presentation, or is he staying no matter what? That's not in there. But
once you go this far into the offseason, I mean, the season ended weeks ago. To have not made, if you were going to make the decision to fire him, you fire him immediately and get to work. No, you get to work on a replacement,
right?
I mean, that it went this long, hey, we'll catch up in a couple of weeks, and then, all right, let's see what you've got. My guess is it would be multiple days of presenting is, yeah, here's the plan, here's what I'm thinking, let me know what you think of it, but this is going to be our plan going forward. And I think that Adams would have gone into those meetings confident that he would be the GM. Maybe not confident, maybe that's the wrong word, but thinking, I'm probably going to be back. I'm here for a multiple-day presentation. It's a little bit like Aaron Rodgers being flown out to the Jets facility to meet with the new coach to be told we don't want you, and him being shocked by that. Just Rodgers flying there probably thought they're going to want to talk about, you know, the future here and what I want to do, and he was shocked they didn't. For Adams, my guess is, again, maybe not confident, but he probably ends up surprised if he's not retained.
The thought to have is they are not a serious NHL organization.
Well, they certainly don't operate the way that a lot of teams would in this spot, which is they would have made a change by now.
No, from the starting point, this is not someone that would, no offense to Kevin Adams, but his resume did not present itself as somebody that would ever be hired as a general manager in the National Hockey League. It wasn't. And I know they don't get, Terry Pegula said the last time he took questions about the Sabres 5 years ago that he felt let down by the hockey world. So I don't believe he cares what the hockey world thinks about the way he runs his organization. But how would you expect anyone in the NHL is talking about this morning? Like, this guy will just never get fired.
Well,
I mean, there were snickering about him getting the job in the first place. And then six seasons have gone by. On top of that, in the first place, they have not made it. They came close one time, and he's still going to keep going.
So this will be his sixth season?
Sixth. This will be his one, two, three. Yeah, this will be okay. his sixth. Sorry, so five failed seasons.
I mean, eventually he'll have half the drought. He's at five.
It'd be 6 out of 15 yeah. next year.
Keep going. You'll get there eventually.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. And again, like, it's kind of uncharted territory because of the background in the first place and how, I mean, why does he have the job? Because he's somebody the owner trusts. That's why he has the job. Mm-hmm. He wasn't an established assistant general manager in the National Hockey League. So it's going to be tough to predict. I don't know, even if they miss the playoffs next year, if he would be fired.
Well, his contract,
he's not a typical general manager.
I think his contract might be up at the end of next season, along with Lindy Ruff, which would mean like wide open for anything you want to do. You know, whatever. Like, it sounds, it's not like Adams is beyond criticism, of course, but he comes in and he's given a tough task, which is your best players hate it here and want to go away. All right, I'll do that. I'll take my time. I won't be rushed into that. I'll make those trades. He did make those trades, and he got some good pieces in return. But
yeah,
that series of trades is defined by first-round picks that have been barely here. And that's kind of stunning when you think about
right.
it. And Roseanne, Ostlund, Kulik is finally here.
Yeah.
Savoy gets traded. Like, think of all the first-round picks he has made, and they traded away pieces, and they got all these. They got a first for Ristolainen, which is kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He did that, and somebody paid that price, but the returns on all those trades are just modest. It's Tuck, and it's Krebs, and really the number of games played by players coming back in the Eichel-Reinhardt trades, among other trades too, as every piece got kind of sent off. It's Tuck and Scraps, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Levi's in there.
Levi and Ostlund are the guys you're waiting for. But it's amazing, right, that that's part of what you do when you get futures back is you make those trades, and it's 4 years later, and we still haven't seen right. two of the bigger pieces of those trades.
It's almost like a second bungling of lots of potential, lots of assets. Like when Bottrell came here and got the job, like he was so set up to do whatever he wanted. And
he didn't touch it.
He just made a mess of it.
Yeah.
And then Adams had to clean up Bottrell's mess, and he comes in and like, all right, here you go. It's not, no one's going to blame you for having to trade these players. You didn't build this mess. So, all right, clean it up, and what are you going to get in return? And it's been Tuck.
But
and
even
just stuff.
Even how they operated within that, and the Eichel surgery comes up, and okay, your reputation as a franchise is in the toilet for everybody. How do you build it back up? And that, don't even, I'll close the record for a second. Where's their reputation as a franchise across the National Hockey League? Congratulations, you have found a couple of players that are willing to buy in on it. Jason Zucker says it's not a real thing in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
Okay, then why does Craig Berube not take their call last year to be the head coach? Not even take the call. So I trust that Zucker doesn't feel that their reputation is in the toilet across the league. But all the other actions and all the things that happen, Matt Murray told them no.
Yeah.
2 years ago, who was a nobody goalie in the NHL anymore. He was years before. Just that's where I wonder if Adams can ever build it back up. He might be a part of your credibility problem. I mean, I don't want to just hire Lou Lamoriello just for the credibility of it. But I bet you people would take his call.
Maybe. The thing I want to say about building it back up is it's going to come down to winning. And, you know, can they do that? They're way behind schedule.
Well, it comes down to winning, or if you replace them with somebody that people in hockey have, like, the utmost respect for. Again, I don't want to go as far as though I'm hiring, like, an 85-year-old Lou Lamoriello. Like, I don't want that just for the sake of it. Because you do have to still have a good hockey team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Got it in my notes as we go down memory lane here to ask you guys a question. I don't know why I have this written down, but How much did we ever talk about how much I paid for my first car?
Your first car?
The first car that I bought. Yeah. Have we ever discussed it?
I don't think so. I can guess it's a ridiculously low price.
Okay.
What is this going to be, like 1997?
Yeah-ish
for you?
96, probably.
Okay.
1996, probably. I'm 17.
What is a used car cost in 1996?
What did I pay for my first car in 1996?
You paid...
I'll take three guesses from you three youngins.
I'm going to guess, like, $1,900.
Okay, 1900 is in.
$1,900.
Any guesses? Owen? Josh?
I would probably go a little higher than that, like $2,500.
Okay. Josh? We have 19 and 25.
I'm going to go with 27.
Okay.
Oh.
19, 25, and 27. You kind of Price is Right, Owen, there. Yeah. You didn't give him a lot of room for...
The car was 8 years old, if that helps or makes you think anything different. It was a 1988 vehicle.
I'm thinking about how much my first car costs, and there's a difference there of about 15 years, 16 years probably. So I think I'm taking enough off.
I might lower down to like $1,200.
Down to 12, okay?
Well, I'm going to 12.
You're going down. You're cutting your price in half because he said it was 8 years old.
100%.
I assumed his first car.
$1,350.
Gosh,
I'm surprised you guys are changing it so much. I said my price, assuming that your car was at least like 5 years old.
Yeah, well, eight.
I'm sticking, $1,900.
Okay, correct answer, $700.
Yes!
What do you mean, yes?
I was the closest.
My first car, I paid $700.
None of us were right. I'm not giving anybody the win there.
I have to take credit for being closest.
No, this is Price
Is Right. I win Price Is Right.
Price Is Right. If you go over, you lose.
That's right. You went over by double.
Yeah. $700.
True.
$700?
Yep. For a vehicle.
What was it?
It was a Daytona, an 88 Daytona.
I don't even know what that is.
Wow.
Pop-up headlights. Two-door.
Oh, the pop-up headlights. That's an 80s car I've ever seen one.
$700.
Wow.
A 1988 Daytona?
Yep. What a car.
I mean, it kind of looks like a sports car.
And, you know, it's sporty.
Sporty.
For 1996 and, you know, in high school with a car.
This is not the car they used in Back to the Future?
And that's a DeLorean.
Okay, they all look the same.
That pop-up headlights. The DeLorean has pop-up headlights.
Was that your generation's version of, like, the Pontiac Grand Prix? Because seven of my friends had that in high school. He had that also.
I did have one of those.
Yeah.
Oh. That was my second car.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I think my dad's first car was like a super cool old cop car that he's told me about. I think it was a Judge, maybe, is what it was called. And he talks about that all the time. And I'm like, this is so unfair.
You know, I feel like my generation doesn't have the cool old for our first car stories.
No.
You guys I like hearing about these old, because these cars don't exist anymore. None of them do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would still say, like, my first car was a Camry, which is, like, that's a normal car.
Right. Still around?
Yeah.
I had a Pathfinder. It was my first car.
Am I getting yelled at in the chat for confusing a Daytona with a DeLorean, by the way?
Not yet. I don't think you should be yelled at. They both had pop-up headlights. They didn't look that different.
We just have people in the chat that are sharing what their first car was.
Yeah.
Like a 95 Dodge Intrepid?
Intrepid.
Intrepid?
Yep. Yeah. Intrepid was the same as, like, a Stratus... Same general, you know, sedan-y kind of thing.
Yeah. $700.
Yeah. How about that?
Awesome. Did you ever have one of those old station wagons with like the wood paneling on the side?
My mom had a van with wood paneling.
Wood paneling. That's going to make a comeback, isn't it?
I think it did.
My mom had a Chrysler Pacifica with some wood paneling on it when I was a kid.
I think the paneling came back.
It like already had its retro phase and then it's gone again?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't see them on the road now.
There's not a lot of wood paneling out there. Mm-mm. I don't know. I don't know why I wrote that down to bring that up, but
I mean, you were right to. We were all way off.
Yeah,
it's true. You got us all.
$700. Craig Revay, Andrew Peters of After the Whistle reporting yesterday. They hear Kevin Adams is back. Of course, no word from the Sabres. Not that they have to make an announcement. The other thing that they're now reporting, that Craig is reporting. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
That Craig's saying that from what he hears, Bo Byram has packed up his stuff and is basically gone.
Got out of Dodge.
Has left an empty house. I do like the time of year where you get to real estate, sports radio.
Yeah.
So-and-so's house is for sale or it's empty. It's kind of fun. But Byram, if he has in fact left, and okay, guys leave for the offseason. Maybe he doesn't want to leave his stuff there. Okay. Maybe he doesn't have that much stuff. I don't know. We'll just like leave it out there. As that is, but it immediately in our group chat, the four of us, you know, Owen, you texted it to us, and you, Josh and Joe, you started immediately. It became Pettersson, the Pettersson trade that did not happen, should be back on. That if you're the Sabres, you want to give Pettersson, you want to give Byram the ninth pick, and what?
Well,
for Pettersson.
I'd love to fire that back up, and I hope he would be available again because I love that trade idea. But when it was out there that the Sabres were even, weren't they like the front runners at one point? Or they were just the only team that were mentioned.
Sure.
That's what it was. Friedman mentioned, like, hey, the Sabres are among teams that are in on it. They were named. What was the trade package that we always thought it was?
Byram and Cousins.
Byram and Cousins. Well, Cousins ain't here anymore. So now what? Byram, you can give him nine. Do they still want a center back? And are you willing to give up Kulik to get that done? I mean, he's a star player. Pettersson is. But some trade like that is centered around Byram in the first round pick, I don't know if you'd have to include Kulik to get a player like that, would absolutely be what I'm thinking about for him. We flirted with the idea of doing we could just do it like the drafting players that have played their last game for the Sabres. I think Byram's played his last game for the Sabres. I'm not like 100% on that, but
he's
a lot of times that real estate stuff I feel like ends up being right, doesn't it? Why are you packing all your stuff? You're packing all your stuff because you know your contract is up and you might think it's less likely than not that you're going to be back and re-sign.
So the tweet I saw that pointed to this comment from Revay included in there that, you know, Craig saying he believes he'll be traded, that Byram would re-sign, but his spot in the pecking order is the thing that's going to make him want to leave. And that would check out. There have been, did he say it? He wants to be a number one defenseman?
No, I think Friedman said that that's what he knows about, that he's heard about Byram.
And Byram doesn't play power play. Like, he wants to be a guy that is a top pairing guy that's going to get trusted more. And if he doesn't see that here, that doesn't mean that he thinks the organization is a disaster. It just means I want to go somewhere where I'm going to play more. I think he was drafted fourth overall. He's got a cup. He might think he's just got the opportunity when it's time for his next contract to say, I want to go to a situation where I'm going to be paid like a top guy, and they're going to play me because I'm paid like a top guy. So that would make sense.
Right. I mean, last year, again, like the lack of power play might be the biggest thing. He had 2 power play points last season. I mean, he didn't play many minutes on it. So 35 even strength points. He ranked 15th among all defensemen in even strength points last year. I mean, he's probably thinking there's a money element here too, right? Like, you know, you put up 38 points. You put up, that was his career high last year, right? 38 points. Like, all right, you're going to get a good chunk of change if you're a 38-point defenseman. But
put me on the power play, I'll put up 59 points, and I'll get, you know.
And now I'm getting $9.5 million or $10 million instead of maybe getting 7.5 or 8.
Right.
And he can't do that here. Like, right. I would understand that. Go to a team like, I mean, Vancouver always comes up because he's from there. Well, that doesn't really work because they have Quinn Hughes. I guess he'd be the second unit guy, but whatever. If he went to a team where he was the number one power play defenseman, he'd probably have 50 points every single year.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And he'd be a more valuable player, you know, for his contract. So, yeah, I'm not anticipating that he is going to sign a long-term deal with the Sabres. Like, if he's back, I can't imagine it's more than 1 year.
And if he has reached the spot where he gets the RFA, I won't sign long-term, that's when the Sabres might even feel like they can comfortably make a hockey trade,
yeah,
and shake things up a little bit.
Is anybody worried, though, about losing him?
I'm not. No.
Like, I'm not. And, like, we've had Paul on throughout the season, and Paul would mention how there were games he thought Byron was their best defenseman. And
but
that often came when Dahlin was his partner.
That's right. And isn't the thing he brings the most the offensive upside, where they kind of don't have space for him and what they really need?
Right.
Is, like, I've seen some of the fancy charts. Percentile. He's a 29th percentile defensive defenseman and a 71st defense, like, percentile.
Offensive.
And don't I need to flip that?
Yeah.
I need a guy that's very good defensively because I've got guys to carry my offense, and offense isn't my problem with the Sabres.
Right. I need, and that's the other thing. Right now, I don't want to say you could put anybody with Dahlin and get good success.
The numbers seem to indicate that.
They kind of do.
We call that being Josh Allen.
Right. Right.
To some degree.
So, like, Byram right now is only successful, for the most part, he is only successful when he plays with Dahlin. So if I'm going to pay him, I want him to play with Dahlin every single night. And what I need more than a guy to play with Dahlin every single night is I need a guy to play with Power every single night.
Yep,
so really what I need to do is flip my best Dahlin partner, because Dahlin can play with almost anybody, into my best Power partner, because I'd like to see him take another step forward.
And if you thought he wasn't the top guy, but he only plays his best with Dahlin, the Sabres should have spent the last 2 months playing him exclusively with Dahlin and driving his value and then try to trade him.
Well, they might have been trying to figure out if he could play with anybody else.
That's right, but yeah.
And he couldn't.
I do find this time of year is an impatient time of year because I want it to get a little bit warmer, a little bit faster.
Yeah, and you might be rushing the shorts a little bit.
Yesterday was beautiful. Did some yard work yesterday. Cleaned the garage.
Me too.
That's how you know it's a nice day.
Yeah.
You're willing to put all of your things in a garage outside.
Mm-hmm.
While you get in there and you sweep.
Yeah.
Other, you know, arrange things. It'll be clean for about a day. And then the kids will, you know, throw every bike and thing everywhere. So for one day, I took pictures. I should get a picture of my clean garage and put it on my wall in my bedroom so I can look at it.
Put it on your refrigerator.
Yes.
I did mow the lawn yesterday, and it was one of those mows where the grass is like over your knees. So you have to change the bag out like 3 times. And for me, that's a very small yard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these Kenmore North Buffalo houses. And it still took like 3 goes at it, like replacing it, because there was so much grass.
Do you have to bag it? Are you supposed to bag it?
I don't think you have to, but I thought, in fact, a lot of times I won't because our yard's not that big. But
if it's long, you probably should, because
it was
otherwise.
So long. I'm like, there's going to be so much grass on the yard. I'm like, I probably should.
Yeah,
so.
Otherwise it looks like you have hay on your yard as it just dries out and dies.
That's what it would have looked like for sure. Yeah. Also, there are spots in our front yard where I really feel like an adult, where you're just like standing over your yard, like, and just looking at, okay, the grass, we planted some grass, and like just investigating how much it's growing, and like that's real adulthood.
Yes.
When you're just staring out over your yard. Like, if someone looked out right at that point in time, I would have just been like marching around the yard, just looking, not doing anything.
you guys know there's ways to mow your lawn where the grass won't clump up like that?
What do you mean?
Like other than bagging it?
Yeah. If you
no.
Wait, do you have push mowers or like
push?
Oh, that might make a difference.
Oh, I get, yeah, no. Because like far too small for a riding mower.
If you have a riding mower and you do like your two passes around the outside edge and then you split it down the middle, like you drive to like the middle of your yard and do a line down the middle and then blow the grass to the outside just in like a big circle rather than like striping or anything like that, it'll spread the grass out.
And kind of like act like some sort of...
Isn't that kind of like a Zamboni?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It just disperses the grass. Like, it just pushes it all to the outside, and it spreads it out. There will be maybe thick spots, but won't be as much.
Lawnmower radio here for a moment. So I got an electric lawnmower last year, small one. The best thing about the electric mower is just that it's super easy. It's like using a drill. You charge a battery, and then you use it.
That's what I got.
Yeah, and we have a small yard. I can mow the lawn in 9 minutes.
Same. Oh, yeah.
Very small. The one thing about it, though, is... Because it's such a small yard, and I got the electric, you can buy them, and they're small machines, right? They're pretty narrow.
Yeah.
And when I was buying it last year, I'm thinking, you know, for $30 more, I can get one bigger size, or even bigger than that. And every time I mow it, I think I should have spent the $30 for the extra
$30
for the 2 inches for a lifetime of two more inches.
It's like six coffees.
Right. I should have just done that because now The mower I have, the electric mower, how wide is it? It's not quite a foot wide. It might be 2 feet wide. It's small. And I just thought every time.
It would have been $30.
Right. Past me,
$30.
Should have thought future you is going to want to do two less passes and not look at this stupid electric mower every time and think, should have spent the $30 on the one size up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it every time. Like, here we go again.
And you can't go back.
No,
like once you've bought it, that's over.
Oh, yeah. I'm 2 years into this electric mower, which, you know, hey, whatever. Does the job. It's easy. Feels like it's got fewer moving parts.
The lesson in life there is maybe just spend the extra $30.
You get what you pay for.
On a multi-year purchase, right? Like anything that you're going to own you plan to own for multiple years, $30 for the next level up?
I know. I should have done it.
Or get the Roomba mower. The electric ones that run themselves, they map out your yard and then they just mow the lawn.
But I like to mow the lawn.
Well, yeah, but that's just another thing.
I find you like to mow the lawn or like you're okay with, like you would never go out and mow the lawn when it didn't need to be mowed just because you felt like doing it.
Well, that would be dumb because the goal is to actually, you know, do something outside. Put that Twitter poll up. Do you like to mow the lawn? I do. I wish I had a bigger lawn to mow. And then there's going to be a diminishing returns. If you told me I had to mow 28 acres, that might be different.
But well, you'd have the riding mower then.
Sure.
In
which case, I might like that.
Yeah.
My experience mowing lawns, working on golf courses, on riding mowers, you know, you want to have a good time, get yourself on a fairway mower and go out and mow some fairways. That is a good time.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever in my life even sat on, let alone driven a riding mower. Yeah. Never.
So it's like a go-kart.
What? Only push mowers.
That's, man. You're missing out.
That's like when you listen to all your podcasts and everything.
Like, that's not just, like, it's not really an experience where like you could just do it though. Like just knock on a neighbor's door and be like, hey, you have a riding, can I mow your lawn today? Maybe they would say yes. Or if they're like you and they like riding the mower, they're like, no, beat it. I'm mowing the lawn.
I saw somebody yesterday posting, they were looking for motivation to mow their lawn. And I thought about an app like Tinder or Hinge that would match people that want to mow a lawn with a lawn. Sometimes I'll be driving and I'll see just a lawn or a median, and I'll think, I'd really like to get after that.
Yeah.
I would spend my time and go mow that if it felt like it was something that I could do.
There are probably a couple, but there are social media accounts where the whole bit that they've got popular off is they'll just drive around and they'll see a lawn that looks like it hasn't been touched in 2 years, and they'll knock on the door like, hey, can I take care of your lawn for free? And clean it all up for free because they're doing it for the media, the clicks.
Are you aware?
You could do that. Start a social media channel. You just drive around Buffalo and you find a yard that needs cutting, and you knock on the door and say, "I'm gonna cut your lawn for you."
Here's how I know that enjoying the mowing of the lawn is not weird. Because there are video games. Are you aware of the lawn mowing simulator games?
Yes, but I don't believe anyone's ever purchased that.
It's got 3.75 stars at the PlayStation Store, the lawnmower video game. Now, I've never done that.
The lawnmower simulator game.
You know what? Let me take a look at it.
There's a goat simulator too, I think.
Let me watch the trailer here.
The trailer.
I have this game actually.
Lawn mowing simulator?
Yeah. Come on.
Yes. And is
you
it,
have it?
Is it great?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's a little clunky sometimes, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty good.
How often do you play it?
Every once in a while. In the wintertime, usually.
See? He wants to scratch
the itch. In the
wintertime. Now, let me ask you this. Is it where you kind of like level up and you get to outfit your mower with better things? Oh, man.
Yeah. Maybe yeah. I do. The more lawns you do, the more money you make and the better mowers you can buy.
You know what? This game is $20. I think I might have found why I didn't.
$20!
It's why I didn't spend the $30 on the bigger mower. Now I can get the game for the same price and I can do more mowing.
Right. You saved $30 on the real mower so you could buy the lawnmower simulator game.
I mean, look at this. I'm watching the trailer. You can mow the grounds at a castle. Who doesn't want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Some of the reviews are funny. Who cares about shooters, RPGs? We've transcended. We're mowing lawns now. All right, we'll put that Twitter poll up and put the poll up in the chat. Do you like to mow the lawn?
Uh-huh.
It's going to win yes, right?
I can't believe that more people are saying yes than no. At the moment, it's 70% yes and 30% no.
75-25. I would expect it to win. Yeah. I learned to mow the lawn maybe when I was 10. I've told this story on the air before. My mom made me wear goggles. Like chemistry.
Goggles.
Because she's afraid that this is the kind of
the grass was going to shoot up in your eyes?
No, like a stone or a wood chip or a mulch was going to fly out of the mower and hit me in the eyes. She made me wear goggles.
It's a good idea. I've had a stone hit me in the face many times.
She worried about those kind of things, and she was always very much on those. So, since I've been 10, and back when I was a kid, we had a decent-sized lawn to mow. That would take me an hour and 20 minutes, just not on a rider, just walking and pushing the whole thing. We had a good-sized lawn.
Yeah.
So as soon as she taught me how to do that, like I probably didn't like it when I was 10, but it didn't take long to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice lush grass. Done some greens mowing as a former greenskeeper.
Greens mowing.
Yeah. You want some pride in your work? Go mow a green at a nice course. I worked at CCB for 2 summers mowing greens.
Yeah. How easy is that?
To mow greens?
It's not hard to mess up?
It's not hard to mess it up.
Yeah.
Because if you go off by 2 millimeters, it'll burn into the edge on the fringe or whatever.
Right, right.
And if your lines are crooked, you could see those if they're still
doing. And everybody will know.
Everybody would know.
Everyone's been on a golf course where there's those burn marks across the green. Like, something happened here this morning.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If there's one player that Davis is the most similar to in the Bills offense right now, who is it? My answer is Keon Coleman. He's the most similar to Keon Coleman. They would line him up on the outside, which the Bills did all the time.
Yep.
He's big. He's a good run blocker. He has build-up speed.
Yeah. How about running those routes, those with guys that just have speed? Just flat, that's it. Just speed. Not they got to work up 4 seconds to get to their top speed. How about guys that just off the line of scrimmage are like a lightning bolt? And not to say Elijah Moore is the fastest player in the league, but I if you've got Coleman for a lot of that stuff, then I'd rather have a smaller guy running the downfield routes. But I understand that because I even asked Bean about this last week. They lost Matt Collins. They had two guys in the offense that were had the physical ability to run down the field and also block in the way that helps their run game a lot. And right now, I mean, Matt Collins left and they've replaced him with, I like the players they've replaced him with because they're better route runners and they're better well-rounded receivers. But if they care about the physical element of that position, that part they haven't replaced.
No, and that's where, again, like Davis, I don't know if it's the Hollins, receivers all have these different roles, but Davis has an idea. I feel like if Keon Coleman were not here, I would have an opening or a spot to listen. Because Gabe is not playing in the slot ever. He's not going over the middle.
No.
He's going to be on the outside. And Coleman got a little bit of slot time, but not a lot. Like, you know, some think he could be a power slot. With Davis, he's an outside receiver. And, you know, one point, I don't think it's going to happen. But if you were to say in Josh Allen's entire career, which player did he have the best downfield chemistry with? What's the answer to that question?
Gabe Davis.
Without a doubt. There's not a close second. Those two hit on deep shots often.
Could have been John Brown if they played longer together.
Okay.
But they didn't.
Maybe. So. Could have been Emmanuel Sanders if they played for 6 years. But,
right. But he, over time, it's
Gabe
Davis.
He and Davis had it. They had a lot of it. I watched all of Davis's catches in the 13 seconds game yesterday.
Oh,
You remember the four touchdowns. He had more catches than that.
Yeah. So you would have seen the Bills' final drive.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it just go Davis, 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 Sanders, Davis?
Pretty much.
And it's
I didn't see the Sanders throw because I only saw the throws to Davis.
And it's like, it's just him on an island running like a dig route and he's just open.
Yep. He's just throwing a move on the safety who's falling down.
Right.
They were just falling down as the Bills were going vertical against the Chiefs the whole time.
Yeah.
And again, like that might have lulled everyone into a false sense of what Davis could be, including us.
I thought there was definitely more there.
It might have also given us a false sense of how easy it would be for the Bills to throw it down the field. Like, oh, okay, he had a great game, but Allen and this offense can do that whenever they want. Because since that game, it feels like we've been chasing that idea. And again, Davis is the one that gave them that. Against Pittsburgh, multiple times against Pittsburgh, the 98-yard touchdown, when he rips away from Minkah Fitzpatrick. There was a game.
I mean, the beginning of his career, didn't he have 7 touchdowns in his first like 10 games?
He was a touchdown guy. He was a guy that Allen threw the ball to, and it started to really drift late. And whether that's part of the Joe Brady offense where things kind of came back, he'd have 0 targets in a game. The game against Washington, I think he had 0 targets. No, maybe he had a touchdown there. Anyway, with Davis, the
Green Bay, he had 0 targets.
The mistakes became a little bit more obvious, a little bit more highlighted. There'd be drops and injuries. So letting him leave always, to me, made tons of sense. Like, all right, you're not going to pay this guy $13 million. Now if he's free and he just thinks, you know what, if I show enough. Because if he's getting – here's the thing, Joe. If he's getting offered maximum 5 right now, what's that offer next year if he balls out? Everybody's already seen a lot of film. They've seen a lot on him. Is he ever making 10, 11 again?
No, he's not.
He's probably getting the Elijah Moore contract a couple times. And, you know, he's got a career left. I don't know.
Maybe he thinks he can get himself into the Curtis Samuel contract. It's like $7, $8 million a year.
Right. It'd be interesting to see, you know, if they want him back and if he wants to come back, does he view the room they have as, I know the quarterback, man. I played with this guy forever. Mm-hmm. You're telling me, insert name here, is I'm going to be a great teammate to this guy, but he's going to keep me from getting mine with Josh? Wait till I get back to training camp. Josh can remember me. Yeah. So anyway.
I mean, it's a good argument for it. I do think the money part of it is the one area where it helps them. Because no team is going to offer him more than the vet minimum.
Yeah.
Would lock it in. No team is going to offer him more. Because you're giving money to the Jaguars, really, is all you'd be doing, right? Oh, the Jaguars now have to pay $8 million instead of $11
million. Yeah.
So nobody's going to offer more than that. It also, shouldn't it be a little damning to what he is as a player at this point that the Jaguars were like, no, we're good. Get out of here. Like they don't save any money by cutting him.
There's certainly a point to be made there.
Not for the person he is, because he Morris defended that, but that they have an offensive coach that just came in the building that everyone seems to think is pretty bright and is building a cool looking offense there, and he's like, I do not need this guy in my offense.
Right.
For anything.
I'll eat $20 million to do it.
Right.
Hot dog chatter. So we have an idea for the Buffalo Sabres. Free idea.
That we've stolen from another team.
Right, we're not going to tell you how to run your hockey department, but we might have some hot dog ideas. So I found today a story about the Milwaukee Brewers, and there was some sort of controversy about their hot dog club.
Mm-hmm.
To which...
A hot dog club.
Right. My reaction was, I'm sorry, hot dog club?
Yeah.
What's a hot dog club? There was something where there was a glitch, and people were being charged for ketchup, $1 for ketchup, and there was a dust-up. But anyway, that's not the story. The story is they have a hot dog club. So how's the hot dog club work at Brewers games? You become a hot dog club member, and you get to have a hot dog at every Brewers game for free. It's not free. You're paying for a membership.
Yeah, yeah.
But for $60, you become a hot dog VIP. And get a hot dog at every home game you go to. You get a trucker hat that says Milwaukee Brewers Hot Dog Club.
Yep.
Something
which is awesome.
Something that says member only experiences. I've not found exactly what the member only experience is. Top dog recognition for most hot dogs redeemed, which means there's a hot dog king or queen.
Wow.
At the end of the season, we'll know if somebody ate 180 or whatever. There are only 81 home games. Who ate 81 hot dogs? Hot dog club.
Yeah.
So the idea for the Sabres is this. They do a hot dog of the day, and it's like $15. It's an expensive dog. So maybe $60 isn't right. But what about a hot dog club for the Sabres? It includes a hot dog for every game.
Yeah.
Now you can make it kind of like there was a bar when I was in college where they had a Beers of the World tour, and you got a hole punch for every beer that you drank around the world, and then you got your name on the wall once you drank all of them.
Yeah.
This is long ago, like before the craft beer thing, so it was unique to have a lot of different beers. Do with hot dogs. The hot dog club, the Sabres hot dog club,
$100
Gotta do it. And that includes every hot dog of the day.
Right.
For every game you go to.
Custom hot dogs.
Hunt.
Or not custom, but you're like special.
You're paying, the hot dog of the day is like $15. So you're seven dogs in, you're paying, it's paid for itself.
Yes. Yeah.
For the Brewers, and if you get a hat in there, it's even better. $60 for the Brewers. The hat is what? $20?
Yep.
So I've got to justify $40 worth of hot dogs at all my Brewers games.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs is that? Five?
It's not many.
Seven?
Yeah.
It's paid for itself. Membership fee to order hot dogs. The Sabres? Let's go.
Gotta do this.
What's some member exclusive things that they could do?
That's what I really got to find out.
Make your own hot dog?
I've really got to find out what the member only experiences are for the hot dog club.
What about like a? Haven't there been baseball teams that have had hot dog cannons?
Yes,
we could do like a hot dog cannon on top of a Zamboni. And if you're part of the hot dog club, like everyone gets their own home game. It's like, hey, January 7th against the Stars, Jeremy's gonna be riding the Zamboni first intermission, shooting hot dogs at everybody.
I love this idea.
Yeah, that could be a member-only experience.
Member-exclusive, you get to shoot the hot dog gun.
Yeah. Got to do it.
Hot dog club, we need it. Or the new stadium, new Bill Stadium. Hot dog every day.
Yeah, but It's definitely, I mean, it's a Sabre staple now, isn't it?
Right.
It's the staple of Sabre games.
It's much better for the idea of baseball and or hockey, for that matter.
Yeah, because you get it more often.
More games.
Everyone should do it. Would Buffalo do something like a wing club that's the equivalent of it? A wing club where, although you don't really get wings at games, ever. I never have, at least. They have wings, though, don't they?
At Sabres games? I don't think so. I don't know.
Maybe they don't.
The problem with wings is the
bones.
Yeah. Nobody wants the leftovers of what you ate.
Right.
The great majority, I've never said this or thought this before, but try it on for size. The great majority of food items you're going to eat at a game involve no waste. It's all going in.
Right.
You got a tray, but other than that,
yeah.
Ribs, chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut shells.
Peanut shells. If you get the 2-foot nachos.
Yeah, but that's easy to clean up. Peanut shells are easy to clean up. You just sweep them.
Right, and there's something different if there were just wing bones around the arena.
Yeah, like, that's nasty.
You'd be like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore.
That's nasty in comparison. The 2-foot nachos have the big boats you have to figure out how to get rid of.
That's right. Yeah, well, the trays.
Yeah, but trays are usually fine.
Those nachos are good.
Yeah, they are.
All right, so anyway, hot dog club, Sabres, go for it. Let's have it. Let's have a hot dog club. Hopefully Eric Stahl's listening. He's got, you know, hey.
This is the new idea.
Just introduce this and say, first order of business, I'm introducing the Eric Stahl hot dog club. And already Joe is softening his stance on Eric Stahl's return. All right, I want to tie together a couple of ends here and have a conversation about the Bills on Christmas.
Yeah, by the way, Jeremy, during break, sometimes I feel like we might need to get like have segments that are dedicated specifically to video during the break.
Yeah.
Because somebody could have photoshopped like a mad scientist. The things you were doing, you were like, wait, it's going to be here and they're going to announce this. He's like, no, I'm going to save it. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to save it.
Well, this was always,
so here we go.
It's like the movie where it's been right in front of us
the whole time.
The answer has been right in front of us the whole time. And I've got a CJ on Twitter saying, like, I've been saying this for a week. I've thought for a long time the Bills are going to play on Christmas. All right. Let's tie the threads together and then decide how we want to do this. Bills fans, let's get on the phones with what you would prefer. That way we're not complaining about it after the fact. If we get on the record first, you get to complain afterwards. So here it is. The 2025 NFL schedule release is Wednesday, May 14th. The guests on that show include Jim Nance, Kevin Burkhardt, Al Michaels, and Deion Dawkins.
Oh!
Now, that's Wednesday.
Right.
So, the Buffalo Bills offensive tackle is just going to be one of the featured guests on the schedule release. My guess is, what are they going to do? They're going to want to have some conversations about the Bills' schedule. Deion, what do you think about blank? Now, what are the things they might ask Deion Dawkins about? I know. Well, Deion, we see the schedule here, and it looks like such and such will be the final game at Highmark Stadium regular season. What will that be like? Isn't that definitely a question for Dawkins as part of... Okay.
100%.
As part of the same story at NFL.com. Ahead of the release of the 2025 schedule, the league's broadcast partners will announce select games on the following days. Very well. And this is just a theory. I don't know this. I'm not reporting this. I'm just tying together some threads. On Monday...
Mm-hmm. Three games get announced.
When we are back on Monday, on the Today Show... We find out a game from NBC. That's probably the NFL kickoff opener, the first game. Okay. Eagles and somebody in Philadelphia, the NFL kickoff Thursday night.
Eagles-Cowboys. No, it won't be division.
Could be.
It won't be division.
Fox will announce one. And
not going to be the Bills.
Prime Video will announce one. Now, let's go through the history of Prime.
Let's do it. Short.
It used to be that Prime would announce the first game. Chargers-Chiefs was announced as like a week two game. Maybe the first ever Prime game was Chargers-Chiefs. Then Prime got into the Black Friday game.
Mm-hmm.
What does Prime have this year? The third Christmas game.
Yep.
The first two are on Netflix, and the third one is on Prime. So Prime has a Christmas game. Prime gets to announce its big, hey, look what you can get on Amazon. May 12th, Monday, they will announce one of their games. Will it not be the Bills on Christmas night? The night game, 8 p.m. in Buffalo. Close the stadium with Josh Allen, the NFL MVP, against you decide. Is that, you know, Patriots? Is that Cincinnati?
Yeah.
How big of a game do they want for that? You know, the NFL schedule always has a degree of gambling that this game will still be important way down the line.
Right.
But, you know, you do the best you can. Bills, home, Highmark, 8 p.m. Christmas night. That's my bet.
And that's the regular season finale at the stadium.
Yes. Yep. What a special occasion it would be.
Yes.
Would Bills fans feel more inclined to go on Christmas if it's, hey, it's the last one over here?
And if it's night, it's Christmas Day, yes. Yeah.
So I posted a couple of Twitter polls about this. One, if they're going to play on Christmas, I almost wanted to say, once we accept that they're playing on Christmas, the better off we're all going to be.
They are, yeah.
Would you prefer home or away on Christmas? Give us a call on this. We have wide open phone lines to Friday. We're, you know, mailing in the show. kind of. 803-0550. Would you prefer home or away? Would you prefer 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock? Doing that, I'm able to piece together another poll, a third one, all in, based on that, home 4, home 8, away 4, away 8. Guess what everybody wants as their most chose? Home 8 o'clock is the choice. 57% want it to be home. 42%, that's leading the way, would choose it to be at 8 p.m. on mm-hmm. Christmas night. And home 8 p.m. when put up against other options, that is the number one choice.
Here's why I would make an argument for away. And I love the conversation about why it could be home and it'd be their regular season finale. I'm good. If that's the case, I'm good with that. I think it's a good idea. Here's why I would tell you I think I could make a case for that game if they're going to play a night game or even just any game on Christmas for it to be away. Because if it's on TV and it's away, it's a 3.5 hour investment on Christmas. If it's home, it's an 8 hour. It's an 8 hour time investment on
Christmas.
That's
right. There's no disputing that. I mean, when you see what time a game is, it's like, all right, well, 3 hours before.
Yep.
And 2.5 hours after.
Yep. Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
It's a 8+ hour in time investment on Christmas, and I think a lot of people are going to have to. Listen, if it comes out, there's going to be lots of time to plan. So, like, people will be like, oh, we're going to really excited about it. That might be our best tailgate of the year. But I would tell you, I think for most people, for it being away, I think it's why having the away games on Thanksgiving have been good for Bills fans, is everybody can treat Thanksgiving normally, and then there's a Bills game inserted in the middle of it. And I think that's kind of how it would be if it was away. It'd be a normal Christmas with, instead of 24 full hours of A Christmas Story, it'd be like 18 hours of Christmas Story and then Bills football in the evening.
Thanksgiving prime time is also available.
Yeah.
And is that not a prime game? That's a Thursday night. That's Thursday night football. Maybe it's not Christmas night.
CBS, right, is the 12:30 game. Well, uh-huh. Now 1 o'clock game.
Uh-huh.
CBS Fox is the second game.
Uh-huh. And then NFL Network used to get that Thursday night game. But
it's prime, I would guess. Because I think NBC. No, it's been NBC.
It has? Okay.
Yes, because I remember they did the Thursday, and then they had to go back-to-back and do the Sunday night.
Okay. Well, it could be Thanksgiving night. What if we get just like all the holidays?
I think there's a good chance that the Bills will have the most home primetime games they've ever had. I think they're going to get every network at home.
Yeah, that seems possible. And again, like 4:25 isn't exactly the prime time, but
it's the national
the standalone. Yep. Right, Nance and Romo are here for Bills.
But I think
Bills Bengals
Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, and a prime. Well, prime is. So what would be the other? Yeah, I think they're going to have a home primetime game on every network. This is the last year in the stadium, 100% to me. If they end up with, how many primetime games did they have last year without flex? 7?
You're allowed to have 6 and then add one in, I believe. Or 6 is the cap?
I think you can guarantee they're getting 6 with a potential flex at 7.
Yeah.
And 4 might be home.
If you had the power, would you undo it and play Sundays at 1 o'clock?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Isn't that just a thing we like to complain about without actually thinking we just want to play Sunday at 1 o'clock?
I remember...
Can anybody else...
Being envious?
Feel that?
I remember being envious of primetime. I'm no longer envious of primetime.
You would prefer zero. You prefer
not
go back
zero.
To... Well, that's what I'm asking
one
you.
Or two.
You have the opportunity to go back to all Sunday at 1. You push that button?
Yeah, I would. Sunday 1 o'clock is just such an elite... It feels right. It feels like NFL football.
Nobody's seeing your games anymore. Well, I mean, you're still seeing some games. It's like 8 games out at a time.
Right.
You're not winning the MVP playing Sunday at 1.
Probably not. Well,
you might.
No, probably not.
You might.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. London is possible still.
Yeah.
But there's a report that actually both spots the Bills could go would be locked up. It could be Pittsburgh in Ireland, or Cleveland in London, and there's a report that Minnesota will get both of those games.
I would really like, if they're going to get an international game, the Ireland game would be, it'd be a really good game. I don't care. I won't even care who the opponent is, but if Bill Steelers in Ireland, you have probably the two best traveling fan bases in the league. That would be good.
It does mean we don't get to go try and take over Pittsburgh, which, depending how late in the season that is, and if Mason Rudolph's their quarterback or not. Jeez. They might trade for Romeo Doubs. They might add Aaron Rodgers. Still, like, Pittsburgh's offseason's not over yet. I mean, they just made a
trade. No, it kind of feels like it's starting.
Right, they just traded a receiver, so, you know, it's definitely still happening. Anyway, who's the best? If they're going to play Christmas... Last year's Christmas games were good games.
They were good games.
They were four playoff teams in the AFC.
It was the Chiefs, right?
Chiefs and Steelers.
Yeah.
And Texans, Ravens.
And that game, I remember, we were invested in that Chiefs-Steelers game.
Yes, because if the Chiefs won, they locked up the one seed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.